This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
You might have caught a quick side there from Matt Scraby in his promo. But, yeah, it is true. Manny Machado is going to join Gwynn and Chris this afternoon.
Don't know what time yet.
No, I think they have to play that by ear. They're going to get him from down at Petco Park ahead of game one of the series against the Philadelphia Phillies. So stay tuned, as they say, to your local channels.
Keep tuned, as you say.
Keep tuned.
Keep tuned, yeah.
No doubt the best news we've gotten from Michael King since he went out with his pinched nerve yesterday at Petco Park. Welcome back, hour number two. We're going to play some Take on Woods here in a couple of minutes as well. In fact, if you want to get online, a chance to qualify for our grand prize trip to Las Vegas, start calling in the next couple of minutes. We'll play like at 7:10 in about 10 minutes from now, 833-288-0973. There is a bit of a discrepancy, though, between the optimism level of manager Mike Schilt and also what Michael King was saying directly to reporters yesterday. Let's first play what Mike Schilt had to say.
Was Schilt slow playing it?
I think a little bit.
Okay, I like that.
A little bit.
I think that's his job.
Here's what he had to say.
Can you give us an update on Michael King, how he's doing, and also Joe Musgrove, if you don't mind?
Michael's in his, since the last update, still continues to be very favorable. And last update was the most favorable we've had. And the favorability is based on consistency and being able to take the next steps. And it starts with being pain-free, which Michael is, continuing to get and maintain and increase his strength, continuing to be able to go out and throw and increase the intensity and the distance of his throws. So all these things are taking place with Michael. He got on the mound yesterday. Didn't mean he threw a bullpen, but he threw off a slope, which is encouraging. And now we're getting to put together a calendar that says this is the progression that gets him back to pitching for the Padres. So all those are big, big milestones relative to where he's been and what he's been dealing with. But he still has some ground to cover.
So that, to me, sounds cautiously optimistic from the skipper, right?
Sure, which is, again, his job, I think, is to temper enthusiasm.
Right. Now, Michael King, when he spoke with reporters, gave, I would say, a much rosier view of where he is.
Which is what a player almost always does, I think.
He characterized his session. He said, yes, I was supposed to kind of throw off a slope. Not a real bullpen. But he said, I felt so good, I ramped it up and turned it into more of a full bullpen session, throwing most of his pitches up to 91 with his fastball. He wasn't going like all out.
Yeah.
But I mean, he averages like 93. So he was almost back to his full velocity already. And then later he said, "Oh, I feel 100% healthy."
Oh, wow.
He said, "I'm good to go. I just need to build myself back up."
Yes.
Because, you can't just jump right into six innings after you haven't pitched in a month. So he feels like he is now at that point where he's just trying to map out how quickly he can get back to the mound. And when asked about the timeline, someone brought up the fact that August 20th is the Michael King bobblehead giveaway game against the Giants. And he said, oh, I'll be back well before that.
Oh,
and
I love
he
that.
Emphatically said that would be very late for August 20th. He thinks he'll be back well before that, which makes me think, probably, early August is what he's looking at for a timeline now to return to the Padres rotation.
Good. I mean, absolutely needed and important, and we don't go really anywhere without Michael King coming back and being, the ace-type pitcher that he has proven himself to be the last couple of seasons, Ben. So that's phenomenal news.
He told Kevin Acey that he says, I'm what they call a type A personality.
Yeah.
When I got hurt, before the training staff even laid out a rehab, I wrote out my own program before the training room even did, brought it to them and said, you can use this as a guideline. And they said, okay, that's kind of aggressive. Maybe we can meet in the middle a little bit here. You don't want to push yourself too fast, too quickly, which is probably why you hear the tempered expectations from Mike Schilt. He's listening to Mark Rogo and Ricky Huerta and Ben Fraser, and they're kind of saying, hey, yeah, he's doing well, but let's not bring him along too quickly here. We want him good for the rest of the season. And Michael's like, give me back to the mound. Give me back to the mound.
He's
I'm
dying.
Ready to go.
He's dying. The guy loves to compete.
Now, the other just small part of this equation is that Sheila, his wife, very, very, very pregnant. like
extremely
any day now.
And Gavin Sheets' wife as well. They're all.
Oh, is that true?
Yes, they're both about to have their first children.
I saw they have the same due date.
Gavin, oh, wow. I believe Gavin is having a girl, and Michael and Sheila are going to be surprised. You're right. I mean, it's the if it could happen, like. Sunday, Monday would be fantastic.
Well, for Michael King, yeah, he's
doesn't
not
going to
be pitching. It doesn't matter for Gavin Sheets, yeah,
yeah, that'd be great.
Sunday afternoon, Sunday night,
Sunday afternoon, Sunday night would be great. About 2 a.m. Monday morning
gives you 4 days to adjust to being a dad, and then
back
know,
to work,
back
babe.
To work.
I'll see you later.
And then I'm off the road. He's on the road for like 2 weeks.
Oh,
after that.
That would be tough. So brutal.
After Sunday, we won't see them until the last 3 days of the month.
That is bananas. Where do we go after this? So it's All-Star break.
Nationals, Marlins, Cardinals.
Okay.
Nationals, Marlins, Cardinals,
all
East
right.
Coast trip.
I mean, that would suck, having a brand new baby at home, and you're like, I literally have to pack and go. I have to leave. I'm very sorry.
For 12 days.
For 12 days.
Or whatever it is.
I love you. I really do. I love you so much. I'll see you in 12 days. 2 weeks, almost.
Baseball players, athletes, male athletes, when they have a pregnant wife or a newborn baby, like you're just paying for
whatever
peace and happiness you can garner, right?
Also the anxiety of, oh God, oh, it's right in the middle. Oh, it's right in the middle of season. Oh boy, that panic that you feel.
Like I have to imagine, I'm like, if you have, you know, athlete money.
Yeah.
And your baby is born, and like literally 3 days later, you're like, I'm gone for the next 2 weeks. The way I'm wired, at least
you can't pay your way out of that doghouse. Right. You can't pay enough.
No, I'm gonna try.
But
I'm gonna try.
Pauly doesn't necessarily realize this, but Woods and I do. You're useless as
a
dad for the first.
I get that,
but
you still feel.
Few weeks,
but you're there to take care of her.
You're there for support, but as a caregiver. You are useless.
But you're there to make sure she's comfortable.
Gavin Sheets doesn't have, you know, Manny money
right.
or something, but I'm still like, I will pay to have somebody in this house with you alongside, like, the entire time. They will help you. They will get you, like, time to rest.
Well, by the second one, she'll be like, good, get your ass out on the road. You are unnecessary. Remember when I came, I cut my paternity a week short. She's like, get out of the house, leave me alone, come back when you're off the air. Then that's what I did.
If you're lucky enough, if you're a new mom, if you're lucky enough to have like your own mom close and a good relationship, they're much more helpful than the husband could
much
ever be.
Much more. I tried. I really did. I'm very happy for them, both of them. Fatherhood's an incredible journey.
So ultimately, though, that is extremely good news for the San Diego Padres for the second half of the season. They're going to have to weather a little bit longer. Obviously, without Michael King, but Yu Darvish is going to start again tomorrow, which was good news. He came out of the first start feeling good, so he'll be back on the mound tomorrow. Nick Pivetta will get the start on Sunday to wrap up the first half of the season, and welcome back Ryan Bergeron, who returns from the injured list after taking the line drive off of his forearm, spent the minimum time there, and is going to be back and make the start tonight in the series opener against the Philadelphia Phillies. Padres are going against three
nasty
starting pitchers in this series. They've caught some breaks. You know, they missed Paul Skeens twice. They have caught some breaks.
They've also
faced, as we have talked to with some of our guests.
Like yesterday.
Like letters to AJ. They have faced some nasty pitchers, and they're getting three of the toughest starting pitchers in the National League back-to-back-to-back in this series against the Phillies. I think the mental side of this weekend is going to be really important. Which team can avoid looking ahead to the All-Star break? Which team can really focus in? Because you're at home. You can take two out of three from the Phillies. Even if you play sharp baseball, you push across a couple of runs here and there, you get some good pitching performances. There's no reason the Padres can't win this series. But, hey, if you get shut down by Wheeler and Sanchez like you did in Philly, and then Ranger Suarez, might be even better than the other two guys has been so far. His numbers are also outstanding. He's going tonight. The Phillies have a chance to come in and really send us to the All-Star break on a low note. So this is a big series starting this. This is another big series starting tonight.
Yeah, Viva Padre says this is the Phillies playoff rotation. It's wild, too, because they also have Jesus Luzardo, who's racking up strike at an alarming rate. How do they lose a game? Like, what's their problem?
The bullpen has been rough, and as you mentioned, they haven't been good with runners in scoring position.
Yeah. Oh, Warmest congratulations to our friends Chris and Charisma. They have...
Yesterday was supposed to be the day.
Two days ago. Just put in the YouTube chat. Summer Doherty, born 1:27 a.m., 6.9 pounds.
Today.
Nice.
Wow.
And 19 inches. Warmest congratulations to Chris and Charisma, a couple of our most loyal tier ones. She was in the hospital bed yesterday with her iPad up watching Ben and Woods, and it warmed my heart so much. So welcome to the planet, the universe, Summer Doherty. You have amazing parents. Congrats
now,
to you guys.
Now, is it Summer because she was born in the summer?
By the way, Summer Doherty, SD. That's not a coincidence.
Elite.
That is not a coincidence.
If only there was like a baseball team around that had like SD
Wouldn't
all over their logo.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You have hats like yeah. the initials right there on it.
So good. So good. Welcome to the world, Summer.
Maybe they'll grow up alongside Gavin Sheets and Michael King's kids.
You never know.
They'll be like best friends for life.
You never know.
That would mean Michael King's here for a long time, which I would be very much
that would
in favor
be cool.
of.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right. We got a contestant on the line a little early today. Let's play some Take on Woods. Early edition of Take on Woods brought to you by Bay Alarm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and we got Scott on line one. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
All right, you ready to play our game?
I think I am.
All right, I got two pieces of news for you. First of all, just for playing, yes, you are winning a $50 Better Buzz gift card, My Coffee Place. Make it yours this summer with their Summer Flings menu. Try all their new menu items, including the coconut best drink ever. Check them out online at betterbuzzcoffee.com for a location near you. Also, if you can beat or tie Woods in our five questions of musical trivia, you'll qualify for our grand prize drawing trip to Las Vegas, Park MGM, two nights, two tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, and a $100 gas card. Get your tickets to Motley Crue September 12th through October 3rd at Ticketmaster.com. All right, business out of the way. Time to pick your category. Here are your three choices, Scott. Pops music. Those are five song titles with the word papa. In the mood. Those are song titles that begin with the phrase in the. And then our mystery category, which is the 2-second song, the one word title, and it will appear in all the other song titles. So a little different, but definitely gettable. So which one do you like? Pops music, in the mood, or the mystery category?
I just became a new papa, so people would be upset if I didn't pick that one.
Everyone becoming a new papa. Congratulations. Let's do it. All right. Today we have five songs and artists that all include the word papa. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's that 2-second song. Give me the song title and the artist to score that point. Scott, are you ready to play?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. 60 seconds on the clock. Category is pops music. Your time begins.
Hang on,
when,
1 second.
Your time begins when Paul gets ready.
I'm not quite ready yet.
Well, just wait. We can just wait.
There we go.
All right, Scotty, you good to go? Paul, you good to
I'm
go?
Ready now.
All right, let's do this. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Scott. Let's take on Woods.
Papa's got a brand new bag, James Brown.
Correct. Which classic American folk group produced iconic songs like 1963's California Dreamin'?
Mamas and the Papas.
Correct. Which 1986 song from her True Blue album saw Madonna deal with themes of teenage pregnancy?
Papa Don't Preach.
Correct. Originally recorded by Undisputed Truth in 1972, which all-time Motown classic reached number one on the charts and won 3 Grammys for The Temptations?
Papa with the Rolling Stones.
Correct. Formed in Vacaville, California, which rock band is known for early 2000s songs like Last Resort and Scars?
Papa Roach.
Oh, woo! And that is a 5 for 5. You've got the Better Buzz. You're qualified for Las Vegas. Congratulations, Scott. Hang on the line,
well,
Paul. You'll get all your information. Now it's just a matter of whether Woods can tie that.
Yo.
Hello, Woods. Hello.
Yo.
Problem is soundproof, so no matter how much we yell, he can't hear us because it's soundproof.
Just gotta hope you look up at some point.
Not looking at your phone. All right, Scott's score is locked in. Woods does this without the category. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Scott.
James Brown, Papa Got a Brand New Bag.
Correct. Which classic American folk group produced iconic songs like 1963's California Dreamin'?
Mamas and the Papas.
Correct. Which 1986 song from her True Blue album saw Madonna deal with themes of teenage pregnancy?
Papa Don't Preach.
correct. Originally recorded by Undisputed Truth in 1972, which all-time Motown classic reached number one on the charts and won 3 Grammys for The Temptations.
Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Correct. Formed in Vacaville, California, which rock band is known for early 2000s songs like Last Resort and Scars.
Cut my life into pieces. It's Papa Roach.
It is, and we have a perfect 5-5 score today.
Remember Ben Roach?
Well done.
Ben you guys
Roach.
Remember Ben Roach?
Ben Roach was
one of my favorite things that we've ever done.
Since my last resort.
Suffocation. No breathing. Don't give a boop if I cut my arm bleeding. Ben Roach was incredible. It was an incredible piece of radio history.
That category was called Pops Music.
How that wasn't submitted by Adam for a Marconi Award is beyond me. It's beyond me. So brilliant. Maybe when you're gone, we'll revisit it.
Please.
We don't have like a throwback Thursday, you know. But
it'll come up at some point.
I just want to hear it at some point.
All right. Solid. Way to end the week with a perfect 5-5 score.
Who was I playing against? Scott.
Yeah. He nailed it.
Nice work, dude.
All right. We've got Don't Do This is coming up next.
Oh, I've got a little fireworks mishap in the NFL. It could have gone way worse.
And I've got a breach of tennis etiquette, or maybe just someone who is kind of petulant on the tennis court.
We'll get to
all that coming up next after a check of traffic. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I'm going to tell you about SDFatLoss.com. So I'm about to go on my vacation. And I told you about the food on my vacation. I did this vacation 2 years ago while I was on the SDFatLoss.com program. Had a couple of cheat days. I still lost 40 pounds in 60 days. They want you to know that you can still live your life, have your summer, and lose weight at the same time by following the great doctor-developed strategies at SDFatLoss.com. Your coach is going to keep you on track, even if you slip here or there. It's okay. They understand. It's life. They know you're eating real food, like steak and chicken, stuff from the grocery store, not bars or shakes or mixes. You're not taking injections. It is sustainable. It changes the way you kind of think about food. I adjusted in a few days. I got through it. I lost the weight. I've kept the weight off for 2 years. You can do it as well. So many tier ones out there have lost so much weight with SDFatLoss.com. Just set up your free consultation by going to their website. Again, SDFatLoss.com. Take advantage of the summer special. Get $200 off. Do it the way I did it. Right now, it'll still be warm in 2 months. You can enjoy the end of summer as a new you by going to SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Got the legend himself, Darren Smith, coming up at the bottom of the hour. First, though, it is time for Don't Do This, brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. I think the Don't Do This in this story, and I'm starting at Wimbledon.
Oh, yes.
Where they are playing the men's semifinals right now.
I've watched way more Wimbledon this year than I thought I would, yes. It's on at the gym and when I'm on the treadmill, so I get like a good 30 minutes before my workout, and I've really, really enjoyed it.
I used to watch more tennis. Yeah. I played in high school.
So much tennis when I was a kid.
Me too.
I haven't watched as much.
I love to play tennis, but I just like I forget to watch it.
It's
and when
so
I
cool.
do put it on every once in a while,
you're in.
You can't. Try it.
Right.
Sit down
and try
see
to
if you
away.
Can not walk away in 5 minutes. Like, you're going to be there for a little while because you get hooked and you can't stop watching.
Right now, my fellow Torrey Pines Falcon Taylor Fritz is even at one game apiece or one set apiece against defending champion Carlos Alcaraz in the first men's semifinal. But the Don't Do This story comes from yesterday's women's semifinal, where 12th-seeded Amanda Anisimova pulled off a huge upset, knocked off top-ranked Aryna Sabalenka in 3 sets. And I was going, I haven't heard of Anisimova. What Eastern European country is she from? She's from Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah,
is
born in
Eastern
Jersey, grew up in Florida.
American,
she's American.
Right.
And she's trying to become the first American since Serena, I believe, to win Wimbledon. And she's into the final. But during her match, now you tell me what you think. if you've played tennis, Paul, you played tennis. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this. So during one of the points, I think it was 4-2 in the second set, and it was break point, and Anisimova goes for her, you know, her passing shot,
yep.
and it clips the tape, the net,
yeah, top of the net,
and rolls over, bounces in for a winner, and she's like, yes, I mean, huge moment in the match to go up 5-2, like pivotal. She's going to close it out because of that, essentially, and she kind of turns around. They finish the match. After it's over, Sabalenka goes up to her, and she's like, why didn't you apologize when your ball hit the tape and went in for a winner? You're supposed to, like, I mean, some will say in tennis, if you do that, like, accidentally it hits the net for a winner, you're supposed to kind of sheepishly give, sorry, my bad, wasn't trying to do that. It's like, it's a known thing in tennis. But this is not recreational tennis at the country club. This is the Wimbledon semifinals.
Yeah, I can't claim to know much about tennis. I played varsity tennis for 1 year in high school nearly 20 years ago. I don't ever remember being told that. That was not a thing.
It's not one of those unwritten tennis rules.
At least not at the amateur high school.
It is an unwritten tennis rule, sort of.
But it's not filtered down to the high school level.
It didn't for me.
I think it's like the Tatis, don't swing at a 3-0 pitch.
Right.
It was a rule, but it was kind of a dumb one.
Right.
Like, I didn't grow up going to tennis lessons or anything like that.
I'm not
going to
apologize for getting a point.
Yeah, why would you ever apologize? You didn't do anything on purpose wrong or unethical.
See, Gator in the chat says he was told that in high school.
No
so,
kidding.
Yeah, I guess it all, yeah.
Okay,
I was not familiar with
just
that.
Just give it the courtesy. My bad.
My bad.
She didn't get the courtesy. I mean,
she was excited.
It's Wimbledon.
I mean, it's Wimbledon. She's
you
never
get lucky
been this
there.
Far.
Oh, yeah, nobody's intentionally doing that. Man.
Can you imagine?
Tennis players are sensitive. I had no idea.
You know, Jay Cronenworth hits a lot, you know. Gets sawed off, a broken bat, but it flies over the second baseman's head for a blue single. And I steal the pitcher. My bad.
My bad.
Sorry. My bad.
Never.
Wasn't trying to do that. My bad.
No, it's a line drive in the books. Every single.
Yeah.
Every single time. This was an interesting story. You know, listen, fireworks, 4th of July, you got to be careful. We all know what happened to Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, the guy blew his hand off. Every year, when you're lighting fireworks, I don't anymore. I used to a lot. It's amazing. I didn't blow off an appendage here or there in all my time dabbling with fireworks. You never lit any off, did you?
No.
Never once.
I'm scared of fire and explosives.
I get it. Well, brand new Chargers running back, Najee Harris, sustained an eye injury after a fireworks mishap at a July 4th event. His agent told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Thursday. Said the injury was superficial. He is expected to be ready for the upcoming NFL season, but man, I'd say he dodged a bullet there, dude.
Maybe he did. There are stories, I mean, rumors that have been going out that the agent is downplaying this. Apparently, he's had to make multiple trips to the hospital already for the superficial injury. Someone's in critical condition from this same accident. Is it possible that they don't want to let how bad it's getting out? I mean, I don't know.
God. Yeah, one person lost his fingers in the accident.
And someone's saying that Najee, like, lost his eye. But we'll see.
God.
I mean, that's unsubstantiated.
We'll see, you just said.
I did not mean that as a pun.
He'll see.
I've heard Najee Harris, pretty good dude.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not a Charger lover at any point. You don't want to see a guy get hurt in a fireworks accident. But it is a reminder about how dangerous it is.
Man, it would be... Somebody said, somebody tweeted, Najee Harris has played every single game since he's been in the NFL. Day one with the Chargers blows up.
Saw a funny tweet this week. It said, apparently my unemployed neighbor with an unlimited fireworks budget wanted to wish everybody a happy 9th of July.
Yeah. The first year I can remember, I didn't hear any. Not one.
It's wild now. Being in San Diego for almost 20 years. Where you don't get to shoot off fireworks.
No, it's not a fireworks town.
I grew up
town.
In a different part of the country.
Same.
Where you could go to any corner in your town, fireworks stand, you can buy stuff, you can go out in your front yard or out on the street and shoot them off. Saw a buddy of mine on the East Coast in South Carolina. It was like 7 p.m. on the 4th of July, and it looked like they were just out in their driveway shooting off a bunch of crazy fireworks, and I'm like, looks like they're having fun, looked like they were safe, and I go... that is such a far-fetched idea now to somebody on the West Coast.
Big
like,
time.
You, the whole city
yeah, I'm not
would
trying
burn
to
down.
Burn the
well,
city
right.
down.
And then, like, you grew up in Seattle where it's really wet and rainy.
Yeah, you
and,
go
like,
to the end of a dock
yeah, you're
and
fine,
shoot
yeah.
them all
it, in San Diego, it's not so much the safety of the people. It's the, our own safety when you launch one into dry brush and the winds kick up and you burn half the city down.
Yeah, please don't.
Don't do it.
Please. I like the drone shows anyway now. I'm seeing appearances and then they look.
Yeah.
Look, fireworks are cool. Drone shows are cooler. They're cooler. They're quiet.
I would be in favor of getting rid of fireworks entirely.
Some people just like the dangerous aspect.
Yeah.
That's
I
what
used
they're
to.
Attracted to.
I used to. I used to love buying those big old shells and having a ball, but been burning them down.
Finally, do this.
DD Mega Doo.
And we're actually a little bit behind, but we really should call out relief pitcher Jason Adam for something cool that he is doing this season. They wrote about it in the UT. I saw players wearing his t-shirts, the strikeout child abuse t-shirts. He had all the teammates in them, but the details are really great. Jason Adam is donating for every strikeout, and, you know, strikes out a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
$1,250 for every strikeout to Olive Crest, which is a Southern California nonprofit dedicated to preventing child abuse. He said, told the UT, makes the strikeouts a little bit sweeter. Obviously, in the game, I'm always going for a strikeout, but when I'm able to look back on the season, maybe the halfway point be like, hey, you know what? That added some help and hopefully helps a kid in the time of need. He's racking up the strikeouts. He's going to the All-Star game, and he's giving back to the community here in San Diego. Even though he's been here less than a year.
Love
remember,
it, man.
They didn't acquire him until this month last year, and trying to make a good citizen of Southern California and doing some good here.
Always appreciate it when guys do that and give back to the community.
By the way, if you like Jason Adam, go check out the interview that our Braden Soprenet did with Jason Adam. Went down, met
little
him in
dugout
the
interview
at Petco Park and talked a little bit more about Jason going to the All-Star game and his career and being here with the San Diego Padres. You can check that out on the Odyssey
Excellent.
App. And that is Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
And of course, at some point later today, Manny Machado on a Friar Friday. We got Mike Schilt coming up at 9 o'clock today with our manager's report. First, though, we will talk Padres. We will talk SDFC with one of the voices of San Diego FC. Darren Smith going to join us for his weekly chat. That is coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You know all the words.
Yes.
Woods knows all the words.
All of them.
This hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. Got Darren Smith going to join us here. I was down.
Speaking of Staples, Darren Smith, a staple.
He is a staple.
In San Diego radio history.
I was down at Singing Hills for a story this week. I was actually covering the little kids playing golf at the Junior World, but that's where the training facilities are for SDFC. And so I was over at the driving range at the golf course, and you're hitting balls right toward the practice fields and the facility. And they've got giant nets to protect everything, but there's signs that they put up and they say, hitting balls over the net will result in a swift penalty kick from SDFC.
Yeah, kick you right in the nuts, dude.
They're trying to be nice about it, but like, don't try to sky one into our soccer players over here.
Please don't. That's the last, it's a very San Diego injury to happen. You know, Chucky Lozano gets domed by your title list right in the eye or something.
Exactly.
Forget it.
Yeah, be careful with those guys. They're working hard
out
on the pitch.
Yeah, they're working hard. They're playing great, you know.
In training out there, and they got a big game tomorrow in Chicago. We will talk with Darren about it right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So as someone who has, you know, grown up in San Diego cheering for our sports teams, dying more than living with them over 50 years.
Yes.
There's a part of me, and I wonder if a lot of San Diegans feel this way about SDFC. It can't be this easy, right? It can't be this easy. First season, top of the table, everything just going so well for the team. Finally, a little hiccup last Saturday when it looked like they were going to pull out another come-from-behind win, got the goal late to break the 2-2 tie. They were up 3-2, and then boom, boom, penalty kick in like the 87th minute, and then stoppage time goal as they lose to Houston Dynamo 4-3. Still top of the table, but at least something that the team needs to now overcome going forward is Darren Smith, one of the voices of SDFC, and our friend joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. You knew some sort of setback was coming, right, Darren, at some point?
Yeah, of course. Nobody can make it look that easy. You're always going to face a little bit of adversity, and it's even something that Mikey Vadas had said a bunch of times too. He's like, hey, listen, things are not going well. They're going to turn. Things are going really well. We're going to hit a patch of adversity. So he knew it. I'm sorry. I'm also distracted. I'm thinking about how SDFC would describe that injury to Chucky Lozano.
Right.
You know, they probably just would tell us it was an upper body injury.
Upper body injury.
Yeah, upper body. Chucky Lozano, yeah, unavailable. Upper body injury.
Yeah, smoked in the forehead with a golf ball from some hardo trying to launch it onto the field, which, listen.
Yeah. Here's your injury report. Chucky Lozano had upper body injury. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I think the thing is, if you know, if you're going to hit a bit of adversity, at least make it entertaining. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that was really an entertaining game.
Yes.
I had friends that went for the first time. They're like, hey, listen, nothing against you, nothing against them. We want them to win, but I'd rather walk out of this building having lost 4-3 than winning 1-0.
So, no doubt.
You know, they were really excited. They thought it was really an exciting game, and there were some things that I think that were pretty clearly, you know, that were easy to diagnose what the situation was. It wasn't anything systemic. There was a couple of mistakes made. And so, you know, it gave Mikey something to do. It gave him the opportunity as a coach to say, hey, listen, you know, this isn't easy. We're always going to hit these kind of rough patches here, and we got to go back. We got to work hard. We're not as great as everybody says we are. So it was really like a perfect way, if you're going to hit a speed bump, it was the perfect way to do it because it gives the coach something to zone in on. And you still don't really lose any ground because you're still on the top of the Western Conference standings.
Coaches are so weird, too. To a man, right? I think, you know, and sometimes when we talk to Shilty after a big win, I'm like, what's the matter? You know? And then, like, after a loss, he's like, what? Everything's great. And it's maybe it's how they cope. You know, maybe it's just part of their human nature. How did Mikey respond with the team and to you guys after such a kind of a gutting loss?
Yeah, I think he was ticked. I think he was ticked right afterwards. You know, I always try to, you know, read the body language, listen to the tone, right? How is he saying what it is that he's saying? We all do this sort of stuff when it comes to the coaches in the different sports. And I think he was ticked because they had the 3 points. They were up 3-2 at home, and you just shouldn't lose that. You know, you shouldn't lose that, whether you lose it, you know, comically or whether you lose it, you know, just because the other team puts it together for a few minutes, right? Like, you should never do that. And I think it really ticked them off that they just, you know, that they kicked away 3 points in that one. But, you know, we had a chance to chat with him during the week, and, you know, he seemed to be fine. You know, I think, like I said, it gave him an opportunity to say, you know, there are things that we still need to be better at, you know, as much as we're on the top of all the power rankings and people are you know, patting us on the back and all that. You know, it gave him, you know, it just gave him something to do.
On.
And the players, I think, understood that too. Like, you know, they were around there. They weren't, you know, like, the spirit was high, like the energy at training this week when they weren't, you know, evading golf balls, airing shots off the practice tee. Like, you know, they were good. Like, the energy was really high. So I think they're going to bounce back well tomorrow in Chicago.
One thing that impressed me again about Mikey Vadas on Thursday, he's a man of conviction. He, you know, he believes in the system that they've installed because one of the reporters who was asking him questions was not trying to goad him, but he was going like, hey, you know, when you get a 3-2 lead late, do what other soccer teams do, you know, go into a big shell and protect it.
Yeah.
And Mikey was going, but we want to keep adding on. We're up 3-2. We want to get to 4-2. And that's just the way we are built. And yes, occasionally it will cost us because we're being too aggressive. But guess what? I think that means we're then in better position to bounce back and come back from deficits when we do give up the lead. He is not going to change who he is and who he wants his team to be based on one bad result like last Saturday, Darren.
And he got rewarded a couple of weeks back, right, in Dallas when they, you know, play a game less than 72 hours after a previous game in Canada. And they're down early, and then they come back, and they get to 2-2 late, and a lot of coaches would shut it down there, and they would play that style. But not them. He said it well. If he's got one, he wants two. If he's got two, he wants three. And, you know, a lot of coaches would have said, okay, we got level here. We're having a great stretch. We picked up 2 wins. You know, this would be 3 straight matches away. We could pick up 7 points and go home. And everybody on planet Earth would tell us how great we are. But instead, he kept pushing for it, and they got a 96-minute winner. So, you know, it's going to reward them, and they're willing to put up with the mistakes or the times where it's not going to work out in order for them to just continue playing their style. And I really like that about them. They are uncompromising in how it is they're going to play. And Mikey called it early on the season, like second, third of the week. He's like, listen, you guys are going to keep asking me a version of the same question, and I'm going to keep telling you the same answer. We are not going to change the way that we play. This is how we play. It might not be for everybody, but it's for us.
It's an interesting thing about soccer, and you know, because a win is worth 3 points, and a draw is not worth 1.5. It's worth 1. So it's essentially so much more valuable to win. How do you think that would change like baseball? Let's say you got 3 points if you won by 3 or more runs, but just 1 point if you won by like 1 or 2. It would change the entire strategy of the game, wouldn't it? Like, games would be completely different if they had a different sort of standings, a table system, like soccer does. That's a really important factor that coaches have to think about. It's not simply win, tie, loss. It's 3 points, 1 point, 0 points.
Imagine trying to do that math over 162 games.
God, oh my God! Yeah.
Oh my God!
I mean, I struggle with 34. I'm a mess. I'm a total disaster using every digit and notepad that I have. But you are right. You know, and I think that even as an overall philosophy, it's not even just match by match or game by game. It becomes an overall philosophy, which is what, like, you want to win most of your games at home and you want to play 500 on the road. And a lot of these coaches in soccer, you know, they're risk adverse and they just feel like, hey, what I have to do in order to protect my own employment and, you know, what I think is a winning strategy for me to try to build a playoff team is to often just play for draws on the road, which is why I go back to the interview that you guys had with Mikey months ago when you asked him, Ben, would he ever play for a draw? And he snapped. He's like, never. Not me. not going to do it.
Love it.
Not what we're about. And I love that too. You know, I mean, my European soccer club is built that way. Like, they don't want to do it. They just want to keep going for goals. Cost them a spot in the Champions League final, but you know, that's the style that they play. That's the style SDSC plays, and I dig it. I like having a unique identity like that, that you don't look cookie cutter like some of these other boring coaches.
It's crazy how process oriented sports are. Baseball being one of the biggest ones. I mean, stick to the process. Trust the process. It will work. Football, obviously, a big trust the process sport as well. Basketball. Yeah, they got the process, but there's a lot of jazz in there as well. They're improvising. Baseball, man, and baseball players, D. Smith, you know this. Hey, when things are going well and I'm hitting the cover off the ball, I may not need 2 hours grinding off the tee. In fact, I probably don't. And you watch what's like the struggles Jackson Merrill has had right now, and you can see that kid grinding through it so hard. Never failed at anything in his life, right? Guaranteed. Uh-huh. And to watch him up there, and last night I thought was a good stepping stone. Didn't get any knocks, but man, he laid off some high cheese, took 3 walks. I mean, that's beneficial for the team. Do you think he's getting closer to busting out of it?
Yeah, and I think, this is where it really helps these guys to be around somebody like Manny, right? Because Manny is straight off the assembly line when it comes to that mentality of baseball.
Yep.
When Manny's going good, sure, he might smile a little bit more. He might joke around with Kevin Acey, but for the most part, it's the same guy.
Same
and
dude.
When it's not going well, might be a little bit frustrated. But you talk about a guy who's process-oriented, who's been the same dude. You could put on tape, you could see the same exact thing that you saw, whether he was wearing an Orioles cap, Padre hat, whatever. Like, that's the guy that you always hold up and go, that is what a baseball player looks like right there. So I'm glad Jackson Merrill's into this second season and he's got somebody like that. I wish more guys would turn to Manny and say, like, listen, let's just take our cues from that dude about how it is that he just keeps the flow, keeps it going. Levels his head out like it never, it's never the cliche of the too high. I love that so much about Manny. Are there things that people don't like about Manny, including me? Sure. But like that, like in terms of his just the whole approach to the sport, I don't know that there's like anybody better that I've seen the guy doing that.
In some ways, Fernando Tatis Jr. is the diametric opposite of Manny Machado.
He wears his,
you can see all of his struggles when he's struggling, but when he's going well, and we saw a taste of it last night, he can electrify not just a team, not just a ballpark, he can electrify a city when he is going well, which is something you kind of need. Also, I wonder, do you think Mike Schilt, AJ Preller, want to coach him into being more like Manny, or do you not want to break that
be yourself,
stallion that the way he is just that's how he's built and just roll with it, and sometimes you have to go through those down periods with him?
I think what Woodsy said, I think you gotta you let guys be their authentic selves. I mean, can you tweak some things? Can you maybe remind him every once in a while that your body language maybe impacts other people, Like, maybe that's a conversation that you can have, but, we've all been around enough coaches and players through the years to know these dudes sniff out a fraud and a fake real quick.
Yeah.
This is the sport where it happens more than anywhere else because of the amount of time that y'all spend with one another. So that's a real good way to, you know, just have nobody believe in you or have everybody turn against you, is to go in there and be somebody that you're not. I mean, doesn't mean you can't make some, you know, a couple of changes to your overall disposition. I think we all would agree. Maybe that's part of the conversation with Fernando, but, you know, for the most part, I mean, he is an emotional guy. Like, I wish we would see more of the good emotions last night, you know, so hopefully, you know, we get to see him do his thing. But, like, yeah, you got to be who you are in this sport. Otherwise, you know, dudes are just going to turn on you real quick.
Couple more minutes before the hard out, top of the hour. Darren Smith joins us here on Ben and Woods this morning. This, you know, he hates the term roller coaster, and if he's listening, I won't use it in our interview, Shilty. The up, down, win, loss.
It's a kiddie coaster right
now. It's like the little caterpillar at the fair. But, you know, it is what it is at this point. You know, I mean, this is who they are right now, and man, Darren, it could be a lot worse. God, it could be a lot worse. You're seeing teams ripping off. You know, Dodgers lost six in a row. I mean, I do think credit needs to be given for finding a way to win some 1-0 games and a bunch of 1-run games and throw a bunch of shutouts. I mean, it's been pretty remarkable with the sometimes lack of talent on this team that they're even where they are right now.
Yeah, they could be better. Things could be worse. Things could be better. You know, but
they've left some out there. They've left some out there for sure.
Yeah, of course, and obviously that happens to everybody. I think I'm more aligned with that line of thinking too. When you know, if you were to say, listen, let me factor and let me tell you all these things that are going to happen. I'm going to tell you in March. These are all the things that are going to happen. What do you think you're saying on July 11th? Yeah, I don't know that many people would be talking about, you know, hey, still within obviously shouting distance of the West.
Yep.
Not that I believe in that. But, you know, in terms of just what the overall record is, I think you put all that criteria in front of everybody. Like, who's, you know, probably could have been a lot worse if you're telling me that, like, there's no king for this amount of time and that Dylan Cease is just as confusing as anybody can possibly be. And, you know, like I think Fernando would not hit more than a couple of home runs in months.
Right, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you just say, hey, listen, here's the list of things that are going to happen. You tell me what you think the record is going to be on July 10th.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
35 wins. Yeah. Like, literally, 35. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, man, I'm probably selling off. Probably not great.
No doubt.
So, you know, I mean, I do think, you know, it's a sport where zooming out every once in a while is, like, the most important thing.
You have to do it.
You know, yeah. I'm reminded all the time of that Bill James line about what it's like covering a team that's hovering around 500.
That's right. We talked about it yesterday. All right, hang on, Darren. You're going to stay with us, aren't you?
Oh, good. Because I'm leaving.
Are you leaving?
I'm taking off.
Ben's out.
I'm out.
Are you going to hang?
Thank you. We
love you.
Game tomorrow.
He's not hanging.
I'm going to just say goodbye. Have a great weekend, everybody. Woods and Paul back next.